Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, you're very welcome to Audiovisual Cultures, the podcast that explores lots of different areas across film, the arts and media. I'm Paula Blair, and for this episode, it was my great pleasure to speak to Dean Simone, Val McAdoo and Pete Postiglione, who all acted and had various production roles in the independent film Game Day, released in late 2021 and now quite widely available for streaming. We talk about the production process of the film, the themes around place, cultural identity and familial interrelationships. Before we meet them, I want to let you all know that instead of every other Wednesday, the podcast is making a slight shift to releasing on the first and third Wednesdays of the month. I'm busy at the moment with paid work and a big writing project, all of which I need to prioritise as I just don't have enough income from the podcast to justify keeping its schedule ahead of doing these other jobs that are giving me income. And I'm also relinquishing myself from the responsibility of producing content every month. So if there are months coming up where I don't have two episodes, we'll skip that month. This is so I don't shortchange our patrons who pay for extras and early releases, and I can just pause their payments until there's content coming up again. I want to keep the quality high for all of you, and I can do that better if I'm not burning out and I'm not getting stressed. So I'm sure you'll all understand. And I hope you'll agree that I've been consistent for 4 years. Some of you haven't been around for that long. Some of you have. You know, if you've been here from the start, you know, initially we started off weekly. Then after, I think about 6 months or something, that became unsustainable because I'm doing this by myself. And then we switched to the fortnightly format, which has been working really well. And it allows me to catch up to myself. After years of really struggling, I'm now actually getting really good paid work. And as I say, I just need to prioritise that because the podcast has remained pretty stagnant in terms of getting an income. And I've tried to do the whole really plowing everything into it and everything, and it hasn't really quite worked. So it's working in other areas of my life and I need to go where the money is, really. Hopefully you will keep enjoying Audiovisual Cultures as we pivot very slightly to twice monthly, which works out really not much differently, at least not for a while. And then there might just be gap months. And then hopefully you'll enjoy us all the more when we come back quite invigorated and not just putting stuff out for the sake of it. My huge thanks go to our patrons at patreon.com/AVCultures and to everybody listening who has reached out with feedback and boosted us on socials. This all really helps other listeners find the show and learn from our fantastic guests. I had an absolute blast recording this with Dean, Val and Pete, and I'm sure you'll really enjoy this conversation too. Thank you all so much for being on my little show. I love talking about movies. I love speaking to independent filmmakers, and it's just so exciting to connect with people across the Atlantic as well. Dean Simone, Val McAdoo and Pete Postiglione, thank you all so much for joining me on Audiovisual Cultures. You've all been involved in making quite a special independent sports-themed family drama feature film called Game Day, which we're going to try and flesh out a little bit. And I understand it's very much Dean's baby as a co-writer of the film as well. So we'll do that in a moment. But first of all, it would be fantastic to get some voices attached to those names. So if it's okay, can I go around everybody? If you're happy to just introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself and your involvement in the film. That would be a great start.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm Dean Simone, and I was one of the co-writers and co-producers on this, and I was one of the actors in it as well. We shot it back in our hometown. Those guys live there now. I'd like to live there in Philadelphia. So we definitely brought a little bit of Philly to the camera.
Hi, I'm Val McAdoo. I played the part of Jamie Forte. It was a great part to play. And I helped produce the film as well. And we shot it in my hometown, where I live right now, which is Wallingford, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philly. So Philly, born and raised.
Hi, my name is Pete Postiglione. I also helped to produce the movie. And I was the first assistant director on this, as well as a small part as Kip in the movie.
Okay.
We love the name.
We love the name.
I still don't get why you chose that name, but I think I remember you telling me. But
Kip was a real person.
It was. It was a boyhood friend. So that's how that.
Yeah. Okay, there's a lot there to try and tease out as we go through then. That's wonderful, thank you. So Dean, then I think because you co-wrote the film, if it's okay, could I get you to give us a bit of an outline of the story and tell us a bit about your character, the main character, Zach, if that's all right?
Yeah. Well, it's really about family, and it's about family dysfunction and family function as well. But it's about it really all coming to a crescendo on one day, on a Sunday, when like everybody in Philadelphia does on Sundays during football season, we all gather to watch the Eagles. It's a big family get together. And it also happens to be in the story, my oldest son, Vince's birthday. So there's quite a bit of family drama that kind of all hits at one time. It's a lot of things that have been building up for a while. Some of the family members have been avoiding each other. This is a situation where they cannot. They're kind of thrown in an arena of the house together. And then to add to it all, it's the Eagles versus the Cowboys, which is our rivalry. So generally when that game happens, emotions are high, and emotions were already high, but it definitely exacerbated the situation. So it's just a lot of family stuff, mm-hmm. A lot of cooking, a lot of Italian food.
Brilliant. And Val, could you then tell us a bit more about Jamie? What's going on with Jamie in the film?
Sure. Well, Jamie at this point knows that there's kind of something going on with her husband and the ex. I think, too, she's preparing to have everybody over, you know, on this Sunday. And she kind of knows the drama that will go down. But then when she finds out that Michelle, the ex, is coming, she's not real happy. So that's pretty much what's going on. And I think that, you know, Jamie kind of represents a lot of women, you know, in that stage of like marriage and everything. There's a lull, and sort of there's a decision that needs to be made about her relationship with her husband. And also she kind of struggles with the relationship with her mother as well, which I think it's pretty much the predetermining factor, which makes her even marry a man like Zach anyway.
Hey, watch that. That guy.
Reason that she would actually, I think that's pretty much the psychology behind Jamie.
Okay, that's really interesting. And so this mysterious Kip then, what's going on with Kip? Who's Kip in this story?
Kip shows his face later in the film as Jamie's new husband.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, this is, as years have passed, they think they both have moved on, and we basically get invited to dinner at the Zach character's restaurant.
Well, no, Jamie decides to go there to see him.
Well, I don't want to give it all away.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I think the drama, and I'll say it if they won't, but these two in this film really drive the story. I think in families in general, whenever there's multi-generations and siblings, there's rivalries that exist whether they're supposed to or not. And this really is a good hard look at that. And there are some strong women characters in this film, you know, because grandmom lives with Zach in Zach's home. And, you know, she's a strong character and she's an Italian American, yeah. You know, grandma. I mean, let's face it, they're strong women, you know, and the character that Val plays, Jamie, super strong. So I think it's just a raw look at family. You know, it happens to be about an Italian American family, and sometimes there's that negative goomba connotation or mm-hmm. that, you know, that mafioso mm-hmm. kind of a connotation here. But you know, you take away the Italian American, and I think a lot of people will kind of, this will resonate with a lot of folks about just family in general and the rivalries that exist within the family.
Brilliant. That was something I was going to ask, actually, because being based in the UK, and I think for listeners who would be on this side of the Atlantic, so in UK, Ireland, Europe, and further afield, it would be really nice to, if you guys could flesh out that kind of identity, because we really only have access to that Italian-American identity through the likes of mafia films and that sort of thing. And it would be really lovely to look at that more in a domestic sphere.
Well, you bring up a really good point, which is unfortunately, and I think all of us can say we all like The Sopranos and Goodfellas and Godfather as much as anybody does. But the preponderance of Italian Americans are not in the mafia. OK, it is a minute amount of people that actually are. And really, what the film really is about family. And Pete said it well, and it's true. I mean, it could be anything. We've gotten such a since it got released in Tubi, and absolutely more folks have gotten a chance to see it, which we're really happy about, is that, we've just had such strong reaction from people. And they're not Italian Southerners, you know, who are, you know, WASPy Southerners, and people in California, and Hispanic people, and African-American people that we know. We've gotten so much response because it really, the Italian aspect is, it's just the flavoring, but it's not really what it's about. What it's really about is being true to yourself and navigating through the maze of family, which is not easy in any way, shape, or form.
And I think if I could add too, yeah, definitely the Italian element. I like how Dean said it. It's like the flavoring in a way, because really all families are like this. And especially in this day and age with a lot of families, with, you know, their stepkids, and there's, yeah, you know, a lot of people are moving in with their parents, or their parents are moving in with them. So you have a house filled with all these different generations and, you know, things like that. So I think that people can relate to it that way, whether being Italian or not. But I can say that also being the Italian American in Philadelphia mm-hmm. is even like an added mm-hmm. thing, because I mean, lots of times too, there's like the Philadelphia version and then there's New York. Yeah. There's a very strong presence of like a Italian Catholic people in Philadelphia. Yeah. So with that being said, I think that really all cultures can definitely identify with this. And especially the dynamics of the family with all of the people living together. And then, for example, I have two stepsons who like I love like a lot, because I helped to raise them, you know, or Jamie helped to raise them, I should say. But at the same time, like one of them drives me nuts, which I mean, hello, we all know what that's like mm-hmm. to live with someone who drives mm-hmm. you crazy.
And they don't know what buttons to push.
Right.
I mean, I grew up, my parents are both from South Philly. So those Sunday dinners were every week.
Yeah.
We Sunday family meal. And it was brave for Dean to write the story about his family. But at the same time, that wasn't anything new for me.
My God. Like,
on a Sunday, right? It was just, yeah. So my dad comes from nine, and he would be arguing all day long with his siblings. And at the end of the day, they just give each other a hug. You kiss on the, you know, the cheek and see you next week type of thing. So, but again, all families are like that. I mean, right. You know, do you have siblings, Paula?
I do, yes. I have an older sister. Yeah, you're talking there, Pete, it's reminding me of my childhood and the big Sunday dinners with the family and everything. Yeah.
And every dinner was just perfect, right? You didn't have any arguments.
No one annoyed anyone.
It's funny, too, like how this all worked out, because, you know, Pete and I, both Italian, both grew up in Philly. So it just, the way that all of this went down with like auditioning for this, but we're truly authentic. And then we ended up filming here, which was really cool, because then most of the cast, you know, had the accent. We didn't have to teach it.
Yeah, we didn't have to teach it.
Yeah, that's such a key point Val's making. The accent was like, we're all, we you know, it drives all of us crazy collectively when we hear New Yorkers doing, and Pete was in Silver Linings Playbook, Pete was an actor in Silver Linings Playbook. Yeah. And, you know, Pete was one of the few people that actually had a Philadelphia accent in it. You know, I mean, it's like you see these people and everyone thinks that a Philadelphia accent is a New York accent. And that would be sort of like saying that an Irish accent is the same as a Northern England accent, or, you know, Manchester sounds the same. It's close, but it's different in a lot of significant ways. And we tried to really keep it true to that because we felt like it added to the credibility. And I mean, it was Philly made all the way. And we had the food, a lot of the sponsors were Pat Steaks and P&S Ravioli and Primo Hoagies.
Yeah. And then like even at the premiere, Coco's Pizza totally helped out. Johnny Paisano's.
Johnny Paisano. He's an Irish guy.
Johnny Paisano was in it. He was in the film. So him and his son, they were both the cab drivers. So
it was a good, authentic, like we tried very hard to make it as authentic as we could.
Yeah, but it wasn't too hard to make it authentic.
Representation of, you know, because I agree with Dean. Sometimes the movies kind of veer away from, I don't know, too far away from the what you're trying to portray. It's apparent to the audience. And the minute you sit down, I mean, the opening scene, it's like, oh, I know exactly where I am.
Right.
There's no pretending. There's no, you know, it's you get right in. And to that point, the acting across the board, to piggyback what Val said, we helped to cast about 90, if not 95% of this movie.
Oh yeah, you guys did it all. Absolutely.
And it was across the board spectacular. I mean, the performances are spectacular. And there's, you know, there's not an A-lister in the bunch, but I would put them up against any A-lister because I think that this movie is that strong. And this one sitting right next to me goes through such a transformation with her character. And Dean also, like, when you watch a story or watch a movie and you're looking for that character to make a change, you're looking for that internal struggle, these two, it's so good. It's so good. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I went back there and I didn't know these guys, you know, so I was so excited to go back home to begin with and to make the movie back there. And then meeting these guys, it was incredible. I mean, not only were they incredibly talented, but they're, you know, people always think that, oh, well, you're in Philly. So, okay, well, you know, it's more worldly in New York, or it's more worldly in London, or it's more worldly in L.A., and it couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, these guys have done all kinds of incredible work as actors, as directors. I mean, I was really honored to be there and to work with them. And I really felt, we felt when we were doing it, that we were doing something special. And man, there were times when we butted heads. There were times when we got on each other's nerves. Because I mean, this was like true independent filmmaking. I mean, we were eyeball to eyeball, what, 12-hour days, man. Pete's like, I got 2 hours sleep last night. I was staying in this hotel that was like, oh my God.
Oh, boy.
And the town is gorgeous. It's right outside of Philadelphia. All those towns, Swarthmore, Media. I mean, just they're incredible. But I got in the one hotel that was like so not gorgeous.
It's literally the one.
Oh, my God. And
Pete's, I cannot believe he chose that one. No, it's not
a good one. Like, well, the price was
most. But it's the only one. It's like a landmark.
It is a landmark.
You would have been better in a tent. You would have been better pitching a tent.
It would have been, man. There's no doubt. One night, Pete drops me off because poor Pete, man. Pete did everything. He was doing a million different things on the set. Pete drops me off. And we're talking in the car, and this poor guy had like maybe 3 hours sleep, like literally six nights in a row. Wow, these guys aren't sleeping; they're working all day on the show. That, you know, I mean, it was nonstop. And Pete and I are having this great conversation. All three of us clicked so well for different reasons, and just really got on with each other so well. We're sitting in the car, and Pete's like, "Listen, I love you, buddy, but I gotta go. You gotta go."
You got to get out of my car.
Get out of my car. I got to go to sleep. And I texted my wife and I'm like, this guy is a man after my own heart. And Val is the exact same way, especially with cleaning, right, Val?
Oh, I was just going to say, you were like, oh, you know, this truly was like an indie film. And, you know, we're all kind of like low budget. We're cutting corners. And we actually, so some of the people stayed in the home that we were filming in. Okay. Dean and I are very much like clean freaks. And a lot of Italian people are, quite honestly.
True.
Right? Like Dean talks about his mom. I mean, her kitchen is like immaculate, right? And I'm like super crazy. So some of the people over there were not as...
Not so much, Paula. Not so much.
Not quite the same, Paula. So me and Val were over there scrubbing, man. We're scrubbing.
Angry scrubbing as well. You bastards, come on.
We're getting ready to see it in the kitchen. And these two say... You got to give us 30 minutes to clean it before we shoot in it, because it wasn't clean enough for the way Dean grew up, you know, that type of kitchen. That is,
it wasn't authentic. It was not an authentic Italian kitchen. I mean, we say it in the movie when my
in the kitchen.
So we helped, you know, we held time. We ended up setting up.
But it was Dean and myself. It wasn't a production assistant. We're like everyone out. Get out.
I'm going to
clean this the right way around here.
Oh, yeah. I texted Val this weekend. My wife texted her because I was cleaning our bathroom. And, she was taking pictures of me cleaning the bathroom. I'm telling you, Italians are crazy with that kind of stuff. And like my mother is like, it's like the white glove on the thing. You know, I mean, you can do surgery. In our
like OCD about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's great when Dean's wife will like send me a picture and she's like, look at this. He's cleaning the bathroom. I'm like, that's beautiful.
How clean the grout looks on the bathroom.
That's what I'm talking about. Now that is an attractive man right there.
It's about the grout. That's exactly it.
Clean grout.
Well, you're welcome around here anytime, Dean. Okay.
Okay. I'll bring my triplets. We'll all take a flight out there. Are you in Ireland, Paul? Is that what you are?
No, I'm in the northeast of England. I'm in Newcastle upon Tyne.
Okay.
This is where I've drifted off to. Yes.
I studied in England for a semester, and I studied in London for a month, and then University of Essex.
Oh, okay. Cool. It's much warmer than where I am up in the north.
Winter is coming. Are you originally from there? Where are you originally from, Paul?
I'm from Belfast. So you got it. You heard it. Yeah. I'm from Belfast. Yeah. So, I mean, just hearing you all talk and everybody really mucking in, you know, I'm from a small nation that's really battling to get any of its own industry. So I'm absolutely hearing you when you're talking about getting accents right. I've heard enough dodgy Ulster accents in movies by the pros, you know, so I'm absolutely hearing you in all fronts there. This is gold. You know, this is great. It's great to hear this because we don't hear enough of stories behind independent filmmaking in the US because it's so oversaturated with Hollywood filmmaking. So this is just so valuable to hear about all of the production experiences as well as the actual film itself, for sure.
Okay. Well, it was really exciting. And Val and Pete just did a really, really neat film with kids. They also run an acting studio and school for kids. And they just made a movie called The Seven, which is terrific. And they have, they have a lot of the kids that they teach and the kids in the area are in it. And they just do a great job. It's just really, really awesome. And I think we need more of that. You know, people view it as provincial and think that that means in some respect that that's a bad word. And I think that really, that's really where things are headed. You know, I mean, I really think we need more and more of that because let's face it. I mean, the world is, it's shrinking, you know, it is really changing. So I think that when you can give a real flavor of an area, but let people know, hey, you know what? This is not much different than what you've got happening in Marietta, Georgia, or this isn't much different than what you have happening in Idaho or anywhere. It says a lot. And I think that I can't speak for these guys, but I know that, again, since the movie came out, Game Day on Tubi, I've had so many people see it, and I've had so much of the same reaction where, oh my God, my stomach was in knots. And it's a very funny thing because I can't speak for these guys, but for me, I wouldn't say that my stomach is in knots when that kind of drama exists in our families. I don't think we have drama that bad. Obviously, it's fiction, not a documentary, but people really get viscerally, they really feel it, you know? I guess it's a taste of what it's like on a Sunday in an Italian family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every piece of the dysfunction. I was like, this is nothing.
This is Disney version.
Yeah. I was like, please. My dad always used to say, like, I liked what you were saying about, you know, these independent films and like the flavor of a particular area and stuff like that. I love that. My dad always used to say same, only different. And it kind of makes me think of that because, yeah, we are all the same in so many ways. But sometimes it's so beautiful to see the difference, you know, to see those little idiosyncrasies of a particular group that just makes them so unique, you know. Mm. And absolutely. I do love that about independent films. Because you can really see that, you can really appreciate it, and you can really feel it, feel what it's like to come from a certain area, or whatever it is, you know?
And our director, Edgar Bravo, did a really excellent job at really, it was like procuring talent and then letting the people do what they do. And then he was a really good true north with saying, that's bull crap, that's truthful. You know, he really did a lot to get real honest performances because no matter how good or bad an actor is, I don't care if you're like a master like Jeff Bridges, we all have tricks. We all have little tricks that we fall to. Not, you know, it's subconscious. I mean, Pete directs too. Val started to direct as well. I mean, so he could speak to that probably better than I can. It's really hard to get actors to move away from their little tricks, the little things that they do. What do you think about that, Pete?
I agree with Edgar's approach to this. Actors will tell you all day long, no, I can do it. Let me try. So, yes, I agree with you, Dean. But Edgar would throw ideas at the actors. And being the first AD, I literally was standing next to him pretty much every shot. And I would look at him and I'd be like, where is that coming from? That's out of left field. But all it did was elicit these responses in these actors, you know, that may go against the grain of what the scene's about, but if it was a tiny little instance of a reaction or a tiny little moment, he would grab it. And to that end, the guy shooting behind the camera, Laffrey Whitrod,
yep,
he made this film. The pictures in this film are stunning. The lighting, you may not know this until I tell you, but each character has its own lighting scheme.
Yep.
Which I thought was just amazing. And I didn't know that until Laff told us. And then he sent us pictures demonstrating how the different hues and the different colors were utilized for different characters. And that kind of just blends right into the movie. But if you're really paying attention to the cinematography, you notice that.
Absolutely. That is so true. And I also would be remiss not to mention that the person who played my father in it, Tony Devon, he passed away months ago. And Tony was a brilliant actor, such a good-hearted guy. And I'm really glad that one of the last things he did, he got a chance to do something that was really a deep, challenging thing, and he crushed it. So love to Tony, and we miss him. I think about him all the time. These guys have known him much longer than I have. But I really enjoyed the time that I worked with him, and we miss him. So yeah, when you watch the film, he's mm-hmm. that's one of his last performances, and he crushed it.
It was his last major performance. And the thing is that it's funny because Pete and I, you know, we read the script, and then once we decided after, you know, speaking with Edgar and John and Dean to possibly move, you know, the production here, immediately when we were going through the character list, he and I looked at each other, and we were, for Ben, we were like, Tony Devon. And he came in, Tony came in to audition for Edgar, and Edgar, as soon as it was done, he just opened the door, Edgar came out, he's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
it's him.
Edgar.
And we're like, I know, right? Yeah. It's like him. Like, yeah. We couldn't have found like a better person to play that character.
Solid. Such a good. He's a solid actor. Yeah. No question. Yeah. And he is from a very young age. He used to be a singer on Broadway in New York, and then he transitioned to film and television. And he has done everything that you could possibly imagine in many high profile situations, yeah, both film and television. But sad to say that sometimes the older you get, you don't really get these meaty roles that you used to. And the minute he read this, he was like, I love this.
Yeah.
I want to do this. And we were all of us were honored that he decided to do this, because he really did a tremendous job. It's one of his best performances in a while.
And he said to me after he said that, he's like, you know, I'm really proud of this film.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of it. And he went, oh my gosh, he was like in heaven at the premiere.
Pain in the ass, Paula. Don't get us wrong.
Oh, he is. Pain in the ass.
But in all the best ways, Paul.
But in all the best ways.
In all the best ways. And, you know, the entire cast, just to give a shout out to the whole cast, everybody. Shelly, who played my mother, brilliant.
Oh, brilliant.
Awesome woman. Nick, my middle son, who just a handsome, charismatic, awesome actor. Mike, who played my oldest son, was just brilliant. Just a great presence, great acting, great job. Michelle, who played my ex, really was like, just got the essence of what it's like to be broken and be in that situation that she was in. Who am I forgetting, guys? I mean, obviously Val and Pete, both awesome as always. Working with Val was so great. I just loved doing the scenes with her. And it was like, to act is like, it really is like playing tennis. You know, you're volleying back and forth. And it was just such a treat to go back and forth with her. And it was with Pete too. We have a really nice scene at the end there too. And I just, these guys are great. And Philly actors don't get near the amount of respect that they deserve. People don't realize how many awesome actors are in Philly. We want to just keep making films in Philly. So that's the next step.
Mm-hmm. Keep on doing it. And the thing is that we had to film our hardest scenes the first day.
That's true.
It's always a way.
I was thrown into it, but actually I was so glad that we did. And Edgar kind of talked about how important that is to do that. And I learned so much from Edgar. I really did. I mean, what a fantastic teacher, the amount I learned from all of this. But he said, you know, when you throw the two main characters in and give them the hardest scenes first, it kind of sets the pace for everything else. It's like the foundation. And
he's a bright guy.
We just connected. It just worked. Like, we just went with it.
And from the beginning, obviously, I was there. It was hardly work at all with these two. It's literally, they met on the phone. I think we did a FaceTime call or whatever it was, just to kind of introduce ourselves to one another, say, we're going to be working together for the next 20 days. and then, it was like, you know, when you meet someone and you feel like old friends.
Yeah, like you know them forever.
That's the way it feels with Dean. And which is why he calls us the triplets.
Yeah. Well, Pete and I did this ridiculous skit called Twins.
Twins.
Okay. Really funny. And
he's like, oh my gosh, it should be triplets. And he should. It's like the trip. Yeah.
Trips. So the Philly trips are, we're looking to make more movies, Paula. So
that sounds amazing. Yeah, that sounds fantastic. There's been so much insight from this quite short conversation. I'm just wary of time because we've only got a few minutes before Zoom kicks us off. But Dean, could you just remind everybody where all they can watch the film? So you've mentioned Tubi, which is available, I think, for US audiences, but just more broadly, where is it available for people?
It's also on Amazon Prime for rental, and Tubi is the current streaming deal right now, but there is going to be more, and Vimeo, it's also available on Vimeo as well. And we're looking at also more platforms that are coming down the pike, and that is not our area of what's happening. So they tell us where it is and we let people know, but for now it's Tubi, Amazon Prime, and Vimeo.
And also in other countries, the best way I would say to go about renting it is to go to the website. So what's the website again, Dean?
Oh, yeah. www.gamedaythemovie.com. Okay. There you go.
That's another good way, especially people who are not in the US, you know. So.
Good call. Absolutely. Yeah.
Brilliant. And are you going to put the website like right there when you air that?
right here.
It's going to be in the show notes for sure. And I'll be making sure everybody goes and checks it out. It's just always so humbling just hearing from jobbing filmmakers and actors and everybody working their socks off, to put it very mildly. Just keep chugging and keep trying to do what you're loving doing. I mean, it just, what you've achieved is just so phenomenal. And absolutely, it feels very like regional cinema here in the UK and Ireland as well, what you're doing in those lesser known areas of such a massive place. So it's really cool for people like me to learn more about all of that. Does anybody have any very brief closing thoughts? Anything you were really burning to say that we haven't got to, just when we have a couple of minutes?
I think, yes, maybe we touched on this earlier, but I think it's fair to say, and Dean mentioned that there are some really good actors here in Philadelphia. Pockets of people exist everywhere, right? But Hollywood, or we assume that you have to go there to make it. And we are living proof that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part of our puzzle is making sure people see a great movie. Mm-hmm. And that's all we really want to do at the end of the day. Yeah, having millions of dollars will be fantastic. We can all agree. But we still are going to make great films.
Yep.
And we want people to see. So the more we do stuff like this, the more we meet people like you, Paula, and get the word out there about these films, I mean, it just helps.
And thank you, Paula, because it's people like you who will get the word out.
Absolutely.
There's so many of these independent films that aren't seen because, you know, we don't have the budget to market like crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
You appreciate great films and fantastic stories that will really touch your heart. They listen to podcasts like this. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
I echo that sentiment as well, Paula. Thank you for having us. It was really great talking to you, and we did our best to tell the truth. And I can tell you one thing in the Philadelphia fashion, it's all about never quitting, and it's all about giving it all you got. And we definitely did that. So we want people to go out there and check out Game Day. If you love the classic films like Mean Street, and you love all those great 70s movies that we all, well, you guys didn't grow up with. Maybe I grew up with it. Young, very young. But we definitely try to tell the truth, and we definitely try to bring back a style of cinema that we really feel is important. So we hope everybody sees it, and we hope it touches everybody. Thanks so much for having us. We sure appreciate it.
Amazing. Thank you all. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you for tuning in to this Cozy Pea Pod production. If you got something out of this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could give us a good rating wherever you're accessing it and share it with someone you know will find it really interesting. If early releases and bonus content sound appealing, visit patreon.com/AVCultures and join one of our support tiers. If you want to help the show but can't manage a membership, we'd love you to join the conversation with AV Cultures Pod on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. The music is Common Ground by Airtone, used under a 3.0 Creative Commons non-commercial license, and is available at ccmixer.org. I've been Paula Blair, and you've been a fantastic audience. Mind yourselves, until next time.